Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Don S. McClure, and you are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. I think we're having some technical difficulties. I think that's what's happening with the show. Let's see. I know it's Friday, and let me check with my producers. I think they can't hear me, so we're going to find out what's going on with the show. If you can hear me, let me know. I'll try to make sure that I hear some sound on my show. Let me check something out for a second. Okay, we are live. Oh, man, I had some technical difficulties in the studio. Welcome to all my fans and listeners on the World Wide Web. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. I want to thank you for tuning in. It might be the rainstorm that's here. We seem to be going through a lot of changes. But it is Friday, and I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this special one-hour presentation, which comes on every Friday. If you'd like to reach me, you can call 818-691-7395. That number to dial again is 818-691-7395. Of course, you can always email me at McClureDonS@gmail.com, and I always read all of my emails. Matter of fact, we're going to read some emails today. This is my 36th show, and as I said, we had a few technical difficulties. We usually roll in a lot smoother. I want to send some shouts out today, though. I'm sending a shout-out to Yvonne Gage. She is a singer in Chicago that I have known for a long time. We've been friends. She is a great singer, as a matter of fact, and I got a chance to see her on Facebook today. Hadn't seen her in some years, and I'm going to tell you a little story about that. I was searching for a friend of mine, Kenny Reinhart, who is a singer, or was a singer, is the lead singer with the Center Stage. And as I was looking on some things, I found a lot of people that I knew. I want to send a shout-out to Al Brown, and congratulations, Al Brown, on your new book that you're working on. He's a friend of mine in Chicago. I want to send a shout-out to Pierre Clark, who's also an old Chicago friend of mine. We were running things. He's part of my Running Things crew in Chicago. I also want to send a shout-out to Kenny Rideout, former lead singer for a group in Chicago called The Center Stage, and to my new friend at the Chicago Police Department as a secretary who went to Marshall High School. Now, everyone knows I went to Farragut High School, and I was a Farragut Admiral. And we didn't like the Marshall people, even though they had some beautiful women over at the Marshall High School. And in matter of fact, one of my brothers went to Crane. There was Crane, Marshall, and Farragut. And I don't think any of us liked each other at that time. And I think my brother Rudy went to Marshall, but I'm not sure. But I want to send a special shout-out to Kim Johnson from Michigan. She posted some really nice pictures on Facebook, and I wanted to say hello to her and promised her, since we're doing some things on Michigan, we're actually going to feature Kenny Burrell, and he's from the Michigan area. So we're going to talk a lot about that. And to Nolan W. Kantz, a new author. And to all my new friends in Chicago, we're going to send a shout-out. Now, we usually read some emails every Friday. And, of course, The leading email is always from my older brother. He's a great fan of mine. Matter of fact, I think he's the biggest fan that I have. He says, "Hey, Don, I really enjoyed your show last week. I have a strong feeling that you will move to higher grounds. The world needs your information. Other parts of the world can learn from you about this great country, the USA. See if you can put your radio show in other parts of the world. When you do the Lord's work first, the money will flow in, and you will be blessed. Love, your big brother, one of your biggest fans." I think that's a great thing to hear from your family. Then we have an email in from Ruth. She follows up and says, "Your brother has some great ideas and thinks and thoughts, and he's right about you and the information you are putting out." So I guess I will send it out to the other parts of the world, see if I can get everybody to doing some great things. So I don't know. Our last email for today is from Laura. "I listen to your show every Friday, actually every week, and I love the way you speak. You have such a great voice." Well, I really like that. "And I want to order a copy of The Gods, your new book." Well, you can always go to my website for that. "I have one question. Can you give me some advice on how you stay so positive, and what made you create the two characters in your books, David and Tiana?" Well, we'll discuss that during some times of the show. But it's going to be a great show today, and I'm going to answer Laura's question after we come right back. But today we're going to be featuring Kitty Burrell, and we're going to have a special guest call in. He is a great hip-hop artist. His name is Locke. It's actually Larry Locke Henderson, but we call him Locke. And I might even do some beats before he comes on. So you never know. But anyway, look, we're going to take a quick PSA. I'll be right back, and we shall get this show started on a Friday night, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. You're listening to the Don McClure Show, and of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure.
Has your child or grandchild dropped out of school? Do they want to find a public school that will help them graduate and receive a high school diploma? The Michigan Virtual Charter Academy allows students age 16 through 20 to complete their high school education in the safety of their home. Students get a loan or laptop, access to online lessons, and teacher support, all tuition-free. To enroll in the Michigan Virtual Charter Academy for this fall, go to k12.com/Michigan.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords exposed cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
Siempre me fijo en las clasificaciones y en la descripción del contenido en las cajas de videojuegos. Pero como a veces quiero más detalles, me encantan estos nuevos resúmenes, pues me dan una descripción más a fondo que me ayuda a decidir si los juegos son apropiados para mis hijos o no. Los resúmenes son gratis y los puedo leer en mi smartphone o en línea.
Para más información sobre clasificaciones de videojuegos y resúmenes, visite esrb.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. And what you just heard, again, as I always explain to people, we have a large Hispanic following in Florida and Texas and some of the other areas, and even in Chicago. So we always play some PSAs in Spanish. I guess I'm going to learn Spanish one day. Maybe I'll be really good at it. Unos dos, who knows? But anyway, listen, we're talking about Kitty Burrell. Now, I always tell you how I kind of got on my brother's nerves hanging around them, but they played great music. So I remember one day asking my mom, why did I like Spanish guitars or what we call Latin guitars or whatever you want to call it? And she would say, Don, I don't know. Maybe it's the stuff you listen to. But my brothers used to play this brother named Kitty Burrell. He was born July 31st, 1931, in Detroit. Now, he came from a musical family that was really good. But what I found amazing about Kitty was at the age of 12, he started learning how to play a guitar. And they say that there was some instance where his mother wanted him to play something else, but they couldn't afford it, so he started fooling around with the guitar. And he liked people like Charlie Christian and Wes Montgomery and a few other people. Well, checking into his background, he studied at Wayne State University and did a lot of great things, but I wanted to know more about what elementary school he went to, because, of course, that's the beginning of whatever it is you're going to do in junior high and high school. So I found a high school called Miller High School in Detroit, and this is where Kenny Burrell went. It was a segregated African-American school, and the thing that was so amazing, it was founded in 1933. So it was really something that people were looking at trying to build and do some other things and, I guess, make the city better. And it was a good public school from what I understand. So in his brief high school teaching and things that he was working on, he got involved in music. Now, Martha Navandellos went to the school. Jazz singer Kim Weston was in the girls' voice class. And Kenny Burrell was there and Milt Jackson. So as I kept checking on it, I found something that one of the teachers wrote. So to kind of give you an idea, she was saying that her argument with the state, or I guess the city government, was that they were trying to get rid of the arts in the school. And she felt like, look, arts help forge young minds. It helps them build. It helps them grow. And it gives them more of a balance. So she said Kenny Burrell attended the segregated African-American Miller High School in Detroit. It was founded in 1933. But from this educational facility came some of the most talented musicians and singers in America. Now, I'm kind of quoting her. Detroit's public schools from the first grade through high school, in her brief high school teaching career, interrupted by the military draft. She says she taught Martha Reeves, the jazz singer Tim Weston, and some of the other people that I just mentioned. But what was so amazing, and she says before she came to that school, before she joined, there was Kenny Burrell. So she was very fascinated with the fact that he went to the school. And there's some friends of mine on Facebook that actually, I guess, are attending Wayne State University. Now, Kenny Burrell was still teaching school. Now, you got to go back to when he was born. We're talking about somebody born back in the day, 1931. So he must be at least 86 years old right now, or 82, somewhere in that framework. That's a long time, and this man is really great. One of the tracks that we're going to play by Kenny Burrell was, I want you to sit back and imagine yourself being in a jazz club, and you're getting ready to listen to Kenny Burrell, and they're in California. And it's at this great nightclub, and Stevie Wonder comes in. And Kenny doesn't know he's going to be there. So a long time ago at the jazz clubs, they would do, like, jam sessions. So what happened? Stevie came up, and they gave a really good jam session. So we're going to play this jam session by Stevie Wonder and Kenny Burrell. And think about yourself being there, and Stevie's going to clown on the tape, but and then we're going to get to some more Kenny Burrell music. But right now we're going to listen to Stevie and Kenny.
Yeah.
I could have been there to see Stevie Wonder, and we all know he's great, and Kenny Burrell. And, I mean, that had to be a phenomenal evening. So, again, even though we have the current music, and I do like hip-hop and Mesa and everybody else, but just think about some of the jazz greats that started some time ago and brought us the great music that we have. I want you to look up, if you get a chance, like I always tell my audience, look up Kenny Burrell's life. I think you'll like it. And the amazing thing about Kenny, in 1996, he served as the director of jazz studies at UCLA, mentoring such notables as Collie Wilson and just some of the other greats. Then he turned around in 2001 and performed Sea Jam Blues, and it was to give a tribute to Duke Ellington to raise money for various charities to develop and to increase the awareness of fighting AIDS in our community. I mean, now you're talking about a dynamic brother, because probably in 1996, he must have been like 66 years old. The man is still around, still doing good. And the thing about Black history, the more we share, the better we get, because then we can really pass this on. So when we're talking about, like I was mentioning to you, some of the singers that I know in Chicago, I mean, I think they're great. And if we go back, I mean, when Kitty Reinhart was singing, I thought he was really good. So just giving that awareness during Black History Month, and maybe do some plays like I always talk about, or introducing new information. Matter of fact, the young man that's going to be on my show has a whole new way of presenting Black history, and I'm telling you, I'm really not into the hip-hop and the rap. But when I played this track by him, I was so fascinated. We are 24 minutes into my show. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and of course, everybody knows that I am the one and only Donis McClure. And before I leave my show tonight, I got some special shout-outs that I want to do. But in the meantime, and in between time, man, you try to act like a real DJ, don't you? That's funny. Anyway, we're going to take a quick PSA. I'm going to come right back. We got a few more minutes before my main guest comes in, or until he calls, and we're going to enjoy hearing what he has to say about hip-hop and education. But in the meantime, let's take a quick PSA and come on back.
Hello?
Lisa, it's Janet.
What's wrong?
This is the bridesmaid's dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
Oh, they're not fuchsia.
Then what? Oh, they're gaudy, aren't they? All ruffles and lace. Great. Well, look like a chorus line.
No. They're really quite simple. It's the material I'm most concerned about.
Oh, I knew it. I specifically said no chiffon. I mean, it's so passe. I just don't think...
It's not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
What? I didn't catch that. It sounded like you said they're made out of old yellow pages.
Yep. I'm afraid you heard right. It's got something to do with recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Oh, that's special. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Funny. Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Find out just how easy we've made it in your neighborhood. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Donis McClure Show. And again, we're waiting on my guest. He's supposed to call at his time. I think it's Eastern, so it should be 8:30. We've got 4 more minutes to go. And again, we're going to play another Kenny Burrell track before our guest comes in. And I'm going to send him a quick email and make sure he got the right phone number and everything else. But in the meantime, we're going to play another Kenny Burrell track because we're honoring Kenny Burrell today. And it's a little smoother. I thought we'd play something smooth, because I like Kenny, actually. So let me get this track on called Kenny Burrell, My One and Only Love, and I'll be right back to my listening audience. Thank you. Well, that was Kitty Burrell, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. So we're going to wait for our guest to give me a call and see where we can reach him and get some things going on. I think that's going to be pretty good. We're having a lot of technical difficulties today with my show, and I have no idea why. That is just amazing to me. So what do you think, listening audience, of Kenny Burrell, while we keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth? Today is one of those odd days. My producers are waving me, and I'm running from one room to the other, trying to get this whole show together. Man, this is ridiculous. We're waiting on our guest to call, and I think he's going to have a good call when we get in. And talk to Locke, the gentleman that does the rap. Matter of fact, what I think we're going to do is, why don't we give you a little listen to what he does with Black History while we're waiting for him to call. How about that? I think you're going to enjoy it. And then I'll come back and do some beats. And I know you'll like to hear me do some beats. Hold on for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Here is Locke doing Hip Hop for Black History. And believe it or not, our engineering board is going slow for some reason. We can't seem to get the tracks to play. That's crazy. So hold on a second, ladies and gentlemen. Well, man, we are really having some technical difficulties today. And I don't understand why. Seems like we got more than one track playing at same time for some reason. So just give us a second. And today is just not one of our better shows. That's amazing. Let's see if we can hit the refresh board here. We don't want to lose you, because we are signed into the show. So just... ladies and gentlemen, we are having some technical difficulties, so we'll be right back. I can't get into the studio. I just can't get in the show. Ladies and gentlemen, give us a few minutes and we'll be right back. We are seriously having some technical difficulties. Hold on for a second. Okay, we have our guy calling in right now, so let me get him to the show. Hello, Locke, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, my man?
Oh, man, we are having some rainstorms down here, and I've been trying to get my show. My studio board went out. The audience was like, Don, I've never had a show like that. I started to beat on some bongo drums.
Yeah, I heard you going through it over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the first time. Well, yeah, that happened like my first show, but this time it's just a matter of, hey, it's acting kind of crazy. But we're back. I did play some Kitty Burrell, and we want to talk to you. So we're going to talk to you about your music and what you're doing with Black History,
excellent,
which I thought was phenomenal because I got a chance to hear it. So we're going to jump right into it. I want to play your track first, then I want to come back and talk to you about this new phenomenal direction that you're taking with Black History and rap songs and hip-hop, and you can kind of clear us up which one you're doing, whether you're doing rap or just hip-hop or what the heck it is.
Cool.
So hold on for a second. Let me get your track going. And we can introduce the audience to you and hear this great sound, because I was really impressed when I got the email and played it.
I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was just phenomenal. I'm going to try to do some other things with it. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to have you on a part one, part two of the show. So I think that's going to work out real well. Now let's hope this board works. It has a mind of its own today. There we go.
Right. I'm able to see clear the right, cause Lewis H. Slattermore improved the light. And J.A. Burr invented the lawnmower. Let me expand the mind of all you young soldiers. Sarah Boone invented the iron board. Now my pants look crisp when I come on jobs. And William B. Purvis approved of a procedure to make paper bags so I can shop and leave the store with a lot of goods. The first black woman inventor, her name was Sarah F. Good. She invented a folding cabinet bed. The printing press was approved by Lavalette and Benjamin Banneker. He built one of the first watches made in America. And I know this is blowing your mind, and that's why I invented this rhyme. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. Should be spice made automated gear shifts. And now you got a choice, automatic or shift. But y'all rejoin that she invented hot coke. She worked for Sarah Breedlove, who was better known as Madam C.J. Walker, who invented products that made hair softer. And Solomon Harper made the blocking systems for controlling the railway trains that offered ways for you to get around and transportate. Granville T. Woods made electromechanical bricks. Valerie Thomas made an elusive transmitter. Will Badia made a satellite tracker. M. Gordine, a device that converts gas into high voltage electricity. I know this is blowing your mind, and that's why I invented this rhyme. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. A blood bank was Charles' true idea, and that helps a lot of people who feel ill. And Louis Alexander came up with a burglar alarm so your home can be safe when you go on ruin. Sharon Jeter, she invented a toaster. G.E. Beckett made a box that can hold her. Let her bug Philip Pete down and made the street letter drop mailbox for you to pile in mail. Let's get into the real McCoy. Steam engine lubricated by Elijah McCoy. Noble cop bomb made bulletproof shields, greatly appreciated by police in the field. A golf tee was made by G.F. Grant. Now swing like Tiger from your golfing stance. And I know this is blowing your mind, and that's why I invented this rhyme.
Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black.
Gentlemen, that was Locke. Now, Larry, let me ask you a question. Do you like being called Larry, Locke? And I know it's L-A-K, but you pronounce it L-O-C-K, right?
Yes, yes, it's Locke. It's, you know, those are the names. And they're both interchangeable. I don't care if you call me Larry, call me Locke. It's they're both all good.
Okay, because I'm like, I know some people say, hey, is your name Donald? I go like, no, it's Don S. McClure, so I always had to pronounce that. But
yeah,
I was, like I said, I was fascinated. I read some of your bio. Now, you are the co-founder and CEO of recording artist and executive producer for Smart Music Entertainment. Is this in New Jersey?
Right. Yes, yes,
okay.
Jersey.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I mean, Smart Music Entertainment, we've really been working on this company for the past 3 years, as far as laying the groundwork and preparing the music and just building the foundation and the blueprint to get us to this point where you know, we're up and running. But as far as hip-hop and rhyming, you know, I was rhyming since I was in, like, the third, fourth grade. You know, that just started with beatboxing and making beats on the lunch table, you know, at lunchtime, and standing on the steps, you know, and breakdancing on cardboard and listening to all types of hip-hop music from Grandmaster Flash to LL and things of that nature. So I've always had the hip-hop passion. And as far as education was concerned, you know, we definitely wanted to do something that was a lot more educational, a lot more positive. You know, the basis of this company is we're advocates of education. So we put together this album, Lesson One, to pretty much promote the importance of learning.
Okay. Well, the thing that I looked at, and like I said, when I got the email from your promotion people, I was really fascinated. Then when I went and checked out one of the tracks. So let's see if we're on the same wavelength.
Okay.
What you're doing is taking the information from an educational point of view, so you won't do the hard gangster rap or everybody got to get shot and the girls got to just dance around like they're kind of crazy. You're going to do something different from that, because this was totally something that if I was in my car, I would play. If I was giving a lecture in a school, because I'm always lecturing about black history, I would bring this as a piece to show them. Because one of the things that I think is important, it's nothing wrong with the other images as far as saying nothing wrong, but we spend too much time on promoting young ladies that just want to dance rather than saying, okay, what are you going to do if you break your leg and you don't have an education?
I could dig it. Well, you know, like this album, it's just to be clear, you know, it's definitely more than a black history album. You know, we touch on a variety of subjects from the first 25 presidents to the history behind money on cash flow to 50 states, drugs, it's a war, congresswomen. You know, it's an overall educational album, and it's definitely a hardcore hip-hop educational album. And what I mean by that is that when you listen to it, you can truly hear the essence of hip hop with the beats and with the flow, but the content of what we're saying just happens to be educational. And the direction that we're going in, you know, is just being advocates of education, just trying to force this message on and trying to give people something else to listen to that they can also enjoy outside of, you know, what you hear in the everyday regular media outlets.
Well, see, the reason why I say this is really phenomenal and amazing. A friend of mine has a foster care thing that he's doing in Memphis, and he's been doing it for a while, and now he's getting ready to take on the people that are actually exiting out of the foster care system. Now, when I'm talking to the young foster care guys, they are so caught up into twisting their hats to the side and doing the things that they see, and one of them has a cousin that does the rap music, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, again, when we're trying to formulate minds, if you only give them that, they have to become Al Capone. Now, I'm from Chicago, And a lot of blacks who use that name actually don't really know what he did. Actually, he didn't like black people. So, you know, when you got these black rappers talking about Al Capone and he beat people in the head with baseball bats mm-hmm. in Cicero, it's like, okay, do you know your history? I think what you're doing, and you say it's called Lesson One, right?
Yes.
And they can get this from, is it a website? Where can they pick up this music?
Well, right now, you know, you can go to iTunes, put in Lesson One, Hip Hop and Education, go to Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, CD Baby. You can also go to the website, smarthiphopmusic.blogspot.com. You can get it from there. You know, you can contact us, first of all, at smarthiphopmusic@gmail.com. You know, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. But right now, you can definitely go to iTunes, and you can go to Amazon, you can go to Napster, you can go to CD Baby. You can go to all your major online distributors, and you can get the album. And
what I'd like to do is get a couple of copies and donate it to some of the schools. Because again, I mean, think about it. We're saying John Gotti, and like I said, I don't have a problem with what you pick. You know, whether you want to name yourself Boo Boo or John Gotti or Al Capone or Gangster T, whatever it is. But to me, one of the most important things is if you don't understand who that person was and what he actually stood for. It's like in Chicago where we grew up, we had a gang called the Gestapo Cobras. Now, we're talking about a violent group in Germany. They used to pull people out of their homes, and because we don't know any better, we're calling ourselves the Gestapo. And I'm like, okay, you grow old, and you say, man, if you had some information, maybe you would have picked something out of Egypt or anything black. And not so much just black as something a little bit more positive when you take on a name. Because if you make $1 billion and you put out Gangsta T, well, all the other rappers are going to want to be gangster rap. And so when we get through shooting each other, then it's like, okay, so what do we do for our community?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's true. You know, and there's also a level where things get deeper than that. You know, some of these kids that's out there, you know, gang banging and doing what they consider it is that they have to do to survive. You know, some of them know the history behind Al Capone and behind, you know, the various gangsters that you named, and they actually respect the violence. You know, I've been dealing with kids for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Juvenile delinquents, you know, disturbed youth. So I've always done something for that particular community. And I often find that some kids, being that there's nothing else positive coming their way, depending on what type of community you grew up in. You might grow up around nothing but gangsters, and you might, you know, because you don't hear anything else on the radio, or because, you know, there's no one else in your immediate circle that's providing you with a different type of dialogue, you begin to just actually respect the violence. They do study these characters, and they do know the history of them, and don't care. You know what I mean? It's like the more violent and the more gruesome, the better. So, you know,
and I agree with you on that. You know, not to cut you off on what I'm saying also. Mm-hmm. A lot of that has to do with the images we keep portraying to them, which is why I like your music. If you lock somebody in a house, and all you play is negative music, and they see their mother get beat up, their girlfriend get beat up, then they think that's the way to live. If you were to take them, like when I used to work at Rhodes College campus is so totally different, where the kids might have on blue jeans and stuff like that, but they're sitting up under trees studying Socrates and philosophies and learning how they're going to take this stuff into the business world. We're sitting there saying, okay, after you do so many Puff Daddies and this and that, how many more rappers are out there that are not working?
Mm-hmm.
And $1,000, you might make, let's just say you get into the rap business and you clear, let's say, $30,000, $40,000, whatever it is that you possibly could get if you can get your stuff out there. Mm-hmm. I had a job doing diversity marketing. I was making $20,000 a day. That's because I knew how to lecture. But I was shown that early. And what I'm saying is, yeah, they understand the violence. But by getting with your music, like I listened to the one about the congresswomen, I listened to the other ones, and I was like, this is impressive, because this is the kind of stuff that we need to make them listen to so they can say, hey, I need to be the producers. I need to be doing the films. like some of the voiceover information, but if they only get to see 96% of the girls doing the shake dance, which I don't have a problem with dancers, but if that's going to be your claim to fame, and you say, okay, how long does that last? I mean, there's a difference in a doctor and a scientist and the head of the GAO office, which most of them don't even know who the GAO is. So I think that if we put your kind of music in their environment more consistently and say, look, I don't have a problem with you talking about gangsters. Just talk about this sometimes, especially when they can't name 15 African presidents.
Well, you know, that's I mean, I agree with you, definitely. But, you know, I also think that the community, you know, it plays such a vital role in the options that kids believe that they have. And with this album, you know, I'm bringing it into the school systems. I'm giving the album out for free as much as I can. I'm getting a lot of, you know, positive feedback from these kids. But even with them listening to it, you know, when you leave school and you got to walk home and you're walking through a war zone, you know, not everybody has the inner strength to deal with those types of influences. You know what I mean? It has to be more than the music. You know, it has to be the home structure with, you know, is there a single parent? Is it both parents? Are there parents that's in and out of jail or, you know, substance abusers? You know, do you have to walk through gangland and you know, are you going to have people pulling at you? You know, there's such a variety of different influences in these different communities that, you know, there's just so many issues that we have to tackle. This is just a small perspective. You know, the music is definitely, in my opinion, you know, the music definitely plays its part, but it has to be the quality of the education. Do the teachers care about the lessons that they're giving out to students, or do they just want a paycheck, or are they racist? You know, is the
yeah. Well, I agree with that. I agree. And like
so many factors.
Yeah, and see, I grew up in those communities. That's why I have to laugh because, not laugh at you. I see what you're saying, but I've also been out there where I grew up on the West Side, where it was just totally violent. There's still violence over there now. I plan on going to the schools. But my thing is, we need to be able to get your email, write you, and try to support what you're doing. I'm not saying it's the end all, it's the answer to everything. But instead of saying there's no Band-Aid, we do have something, because most of the time when you say rap, people don't say education. When you say rap, they talk about the guys with the pants down. And I heard your song talking about, you know, going somewhere and pulling the belt up and stuff like that. To me, if we can promote, and like I said, I don't have any problems with LL or anybody else, but we've got to learn to balance. And I think that your music can be a portion of the antidote to help them say, hey, I can say something different. Now, that's just me speaking, but I've been in those environments. I have friends of mine that grew up in that, and one of them who was a really gangster on the West Side is now a senator, and he goes back to the schools and speaks. So
yeah,
I think it's just a matter of how we do it, but I like what you're doing, and I definitely want to get you on an hour show so we could really talk about your music and do some other things. That's why I told you a part two, because I already knew 30 minutes wasn't going to be enough time.
Because
I like what you're talking about. Yeah, and I want to play more of the tracks. I want to do you like I did Kenny Burrell, and hopefully it won't be raining and my computer screws up. But I'm enjoying talking to you, and I enjoyed, you know, like meeting you, and I want to get a chance to play your music again. When do you think I might be able to set something up, because I really want to get you on my show before the end of the month. I'd like to just knock some schedules out of the way and get you on it so we can talk about this New Jersey phenomenon that's not out of California, New York, and L.A. and Dallas. It's out of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to respect Jersey. You know, we definitely brought a lot of musical talent to the table.
Mm-hmm. And we always talk about Tony Soprano. I mean, I like the Sopranos, but it's not the only thing in New Jersey.
Nah,
you know, it's like, okay, come on, guys. There's more to Jersey than Tony Soprano and the Breeze. Come on, now.
Oh, yeah. You know, we brought a lot of the, you know, just all throughout the spectrum, musically, you know, from Lauryn Hill to, you know, Naughty by Nature and Redman and Queen Latifah and Poor Righteous Teachers, you know. and you know, the list goes on. But
well, listen,
you.
I'd like to get your email. Yeah, I'd like to get your email, and I'd like to make sure that we get wherever they can get this CD, because I got some friends of mine in Texas that they buy just black anything, and I mean, they're pro, like they just had Mesa down there. All I got to do is say somebody's coming, they're like, when can we get it, you know, and they just had Mesa there. So I was really impressed, yeah. So just give them that, because I don't want to run out of time, and I don't want them to miss you, which is listening to Don McClure. I want them to get some information from you, and again, how to get that CD and how to reach you by email, or they can email me and I'll reach you. But we're going to do something about trying to promote your music.
I appreciate that. And, you know, once again, the website is smarthiphopmusic.blogspot.com. You can also contact me on Twitter at smarthiphop, on Facebook at smartmusicentertainment. You can see a couple videos on YouTube at smarthiphopmusic. You can go to iTunes and get the album. Smart Music Presents Lesson 1, Hip Hop and Education. You can get it on Amazon, Napster, CD Baby, Rhapsody, you know, other major online distributors. And you can just go to the website. Go to the website and you can purchase it straight from there. So,
okay, now what's the website?
Not hard to find.
Okay, now what's your website again so they can get it?
SmartHipHopMusic.blogspot.com. That's SmartHipHopMusic.blogspot.com.
Okay, I'm going to make sure. And like I said, send me a couple of emails with that in there just in case so I can flash that and make sure, yeah, make sure I get that on there. But, man, listen, I have enjoyed you. We're going to do some babbling about this because I want to see young blacks doing a lot more than just shooting each other in the films and gold teeth in their mouth and talking about that's the only way to live. And I don't have a problem with that if that's what they want to do. But it's just amazing to me.
I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's just too amazing for me that we could be playing violins like the first black composer in France who ruled France's music. They had no music basically at the top level without him, you know, St. George. And we're not giving him the credit. We're not giving you the credit. Kenny Burrell the credit. So, you know, to me, we got to do better. Listen, I only got two more minutes to my show. I'm glad you called, and I'm going to call your agent and see if we can get you in for an hour show. And, you know, we'll play your music and talk more about your philosophies and how you grew up in New Jersey and some of the places you've been to change the way that the young black man is thinking.
Without a doubt, man, appreciate that. And outlets like this are the ones that's needed the most because it gives Smart Music Entertainment an outlet or a voice.
Well, that's good. Listen, Locke, I'm glad you called. And next week, I promise you, whenever we get you on, we won't ask. I said, what is happening with my studio? What, I got a hex on it? But listen, man, it's been my pleasure talking to you. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Locke, and I thought it was pretty good that he came on. And I do apologize for that. I hate when she hollers in my ear, 90 seconds. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to roll. We're going to roll out of here, and I'm going to do some boop, 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 boop. You know, I can't rap. I'm crazy. But we're going to play Locke's music as my exit music. And again, I want to honor my favorite person, my favorite singer, Whitney Houston. We're going to get a chance to play some of her stuff next week. But I want to roll out of here with Locke. I was impressed with his conversation. I am definitely impressed with his music. I got 60 seconds to go, so I got to say my favorite saying, enjoy life, because that's all you have. And I'm going to play Locke's music, this black history thing, and I'm going to learn how to say, hey, what's going on? What's happening? Do-do-do. Hey, have a good weekend.
Lattimore improved the light, and J.A. Burr invented the lawnmower. Let me expand the mind of all you young soldiers. Sarah Boone invented the iron board. Now my pants look crisp when I come on jobs. And William B. Purvis approved the procedure to make paper bags so I can shop and leave the store with a lot of goods. The first black woman inventor, her name was Sarah F. Good. She invented a folding cabinet bed. The printing press was improved by Lavalette and Benjamin Banneker. He built
one of the first watches made in America. And I know this is blowing your mind, and that's why I invented this rhyme. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Who invented what? Who improved that? They were black. Yeah. Who came up with that idea and left the whole world with a tool to share? They were black. Should be spice made, automated gear shifts. And now you got a choice, automatic or shift. But y'all rejoined and she invented hot comb. She worked for Sarah Breedlove, who was better known as Madam C.J. Walker, who invented products that